Bill Rains. Well, today we're going to continue with Psalm 1, Part 3. Psalm 1, Part 3. Where are you planted? Psalm 1, Part 3. Where are you planted? So we're going to take a look at that third verse. So if you have your Bibles, you can open it or you can follow along on the screen. Psalm 1, Part 3, where are you planted? Now you should be knowing the first two verses by heart, by memory, right? All right, let's say it. Let's say verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate both day and night. And that third verse says this, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and his leaf does not wither. And whatever he does will prosper. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf does not wither. And whatsoever he does will prosper. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your people today. We're thankful for all of those who are listening to your word. God, I pray, God, that you would pour out your anointing on all of us, God, that we might open our hearts, open our minds, just to hear what you're saying to us. We thank you, God, for this study in Psalm 1. And we pray that as we continue, that you would give us just a wonderful understanding of Psalm 1. And the next time we read it, we'll read it with a different perspective. Lord, I thank you for giving me strength to be able to proclaim your word right now in the name of Jesus. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let everyone say, amen. Where are you planted? Where are you planted? So there's this guy right around the corner from me. I pass his house every time I have to go out. And he planted two trees right in front of his house, spread pretty far apart, but on one side of the house and on the other side of the house. The two trees are of the same. They look like the same variety. One tree is healthy and green, and the other tree is withered. As I look at the tree that has the withered leaves, I wonder what happened. Was the one tree diseased? Was it not planted with enough water? Was it underwatered? What's the difference in the roots of each tree? The tree in the psalm is a metaphor for a person. Have you ever looked at two people, say, in the same family, and both of them claim to be Christian? But don't you wonder sometimes why one person looks and behaves so different than the other person? Why one person makes good choices and the other does not? Why one person seems to thrive and the other is always faltering? We see in this third verse of Psalm 1 that one person, though godly, does not follow in a direction that produces the picture of a godly person. And the other person follows in a direction that produces godly strength. The psalmist says that where you are rooted and grounded, makes all the difference. Where you are rooted and grounded makes all the difference. I'm going to give you some really sad real life examples in the same family. How about the Falwell family? Now, the late Jerry Falwell Sr. And, you know, granted, we don't have the same right-wing conservative politic as the late Jerry Falwell had. But nevertheless, we still serve the same God. So I'm not here to pass judgment on his politics. But now look at his son, Jerry Falwell Jr., in the news recently for his inappropriate behavior with his wife's assistant and with his wife's lover. These folks claim to be Christian. He was the head of the probably second largest Christian university in the United States. Can you imagine? Do you think something happened here? He claims to know Christ, but fell into deep sin. We have got to ask ourselves the question, in what was he rooted and grounded? I think I had another example. And that example, because it's not only him, but look at, we've talked about him before, Kirby John Caldwell, head of one of the largest United Methodist churches in Houston. He is now awaiting sentencing. I don't think he's been sentenced yet. For a $3.5 million scam of a lot of older folks. Again, where, in what was he rooted and grounded? So my first point today is you've got to have a good water supply, healthy foliage and fruit. A good water supply, healthy foliage and fruit. So first you have to be planted in such a way that you receive a good water supply. In the positive sense, water is viewed as that which is both a source and sustainer of life and refreshment. In Proverbs 25:25, the reception of good news from a distant land is likened to cold water to a weary person. Do you have those slides on Proverbs 25:25? You can read them. I'm not going to read through them. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. This is the Apostle Paul talking. But God is making it grow. Water provides to seeds what is needed for growth, like the ministry of God's people who provides spiritual nourishment to those who have been exposed to the gospel. Next, Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Water can also symbolize the salvation that brings new life. It says in 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. You see, the church is to be saturated with the water of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is often defined or often seen in scripture as water, living water, which is our next verse in John 4 and verse 10. Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So what does nourishing water look like for the believer? It's a life characterized by the fruit of integrity, honesty, purity, and justice that rolls down like a mighty river and righteousness like a never failing stream. In Amos 5:24. It's a stream that never ever dries up. So our justice and our righteousness ought to never dry up. What else should characterize nourishing water? Nourishing water should be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And you all know them. You can go back and read them. They're right here. They start off with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so forth. What if you had an orange tree that never produced an orange, or an apple tree that never produced an apple? The tree would be good for nothing. Jesus himself withered a fig tree he came across that had no fruit. That's in Mark 11 and also in Luke 13. So my question to us today, have we been cut off from the life-giving nourishment of God? Are your leaves starting to wither? Are they dried up like that tree I described earlier because you do not delight in the word that brings life? Remember last time we talked about some things. We talked about the fact that what it means to be in a blessed state for the believer. We talked about what it means to delight in the law, to delight in the word of God. We talked about what it means to meditate day and night, to speak the truth of the scriptures, to mutter different scriptures in your daily prayers. When is the last time you opened your Bible? When is the last time you engaged in what we call last time, Haggah, which is meditation, to speak God's word to yourself, the scriptures you have memorized, or pray the scriptures when you open your Bible that you may not have memorized? When's the last time you repeated the Lord's Prayer or Psalm 23? Saints, these disciplines are water for the soul. They uplift and they refresh and they keep us spiraling toward God instead of spiraling down into a sinful state. The other day, when I was listening to Sirius XM, Tamala and David Mann were on, and they were talking about a new Tyler Perry project that they support and star in, a show called Assisted Living on BET. Well, I recorded the show and I watched it later that evening. The grandpa in the show had such foul language. I mean foul language. I deleted the show halfway through. My thought was this: Tamala Mann makes such beautiful Christian music that we all love, but something's wrong. There's something wrong. Because how does God get the glory out of that? How does God get the glory out of that? Now, they were not in this first episode. There were other people in the first episode. But still, how do you support being in something that is so foul? So foul. And even though they bleep out the words, you know, you still know what they are. Saints, you have to choose what is spiritual healthy. And of course, physically healthy as well. Because I'm sure you all heard of the fiasco in Flint, Michigan. Remember, we said God's laws and his word are perfect. They will bring no harm, like leaded water that was harming children in Flint. God's word will only bring life and godliness, as in 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. That means you have to make choices to keep your leaves from withering, from drying up, because of a life outside of the Spirit. You see, a dried up life is spiraling downward, slipping into darkness. So water then becomes, this water of the Holy Spirit becomes this source of nourishment to a tree that seeks out water. So a tree seeks out water, and the way it develops deep roots is that it searches for the water source so it can develop a deep root system. As such, a Christian that delights in the Word of God and meditates on it day and night develops deep roots of faith. A Christian that delights in the Word of God, a Christian that knows what God's Word does for the believer, a Christian that meditates on it day and night develops deep, deep roots of faith. My second point today is that we have a prosperous future. Remember that Psalm says? He prospers. He will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. The psalmist draws a conclusion that a constant stream of good water that produces deep roots and healthy foliage and fruit brings about prosperity. Now, all of us know what some Christians mean by prosperity. They mean money and wealth and extravagant living. Like Jerry Falwell Jr. If you've read something about some of the issues surrounding him and what the government is now investigating, is his lavish lifestyle. And he's not by himself. I'm just picking him because he's in the news today. But there have been many who have come before him. I believe that it is possible that prosper could mean material things. It could mean that you've come into a sum of money. It could mean a better job. It could mean a car. It could mean those things. But that is just a small fraction of what it means to prosper. I don't think I can express enough that this world and its meaning of prosper is not for the believer. The gentleman that I mentioned before, When we look at Kirby John Caldwell and the Jerry Falwell Juniors and so many pastors and people of God, we know that the devil is real and that he will leave you naked, ashamed, bankrupt, and destitute just at the right time. You see, the draw of sin is strong. And it's been said by many that sin will take you farther than you ever expected to go. It will keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. And it will cost you more than you ever expected to pay. So the pull of the world sucks you into a false sense of security, with the claim that money and power are the definitions of prosperity. However, I have another idea about prosperity. To prosper is the believer that is able to live godly in spite of what the world offers. Prosper, the word prosper in the Hebrew means to rush towards something, to advance toward progress, or to move towards success. Again, to rush towards something, to advance toward progress, or to move toward success. Henry G. Bosch, the founder of that little booklet that you've all seen, Our Daily Bread, he puts it like this. It means to stand straight for God. You can move to that slide. Stand straight for God. Live lives that reveal Christ-like character, that are lovely to behold, for they are not gnarled by sin or rotted by hypocrisy. Be strong. Number two, be strong. Those who are well-rooted in God's word will be unmovable in times of trial and temptation, because as sure as your name and my name is what it is, trial and temptation are coming to us. But to prosper means that we stand straight for God and that we be strong. And number three, that we keep growing. That we keep growing as healthy trees. We add a new ring, as healthy trees add a new ring of growth each year. We too should constantly grow in grace, as you can see here in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So number three is keep growing. Number four, bring blessing to others. Some trees provide food, others give shade, and others are made into lumber. So too, Christians should provide spiritual food and comfort to their neighbors, to the community, as well as use their time and talents to build people up in the Lord. And lastly, number five, be ready to be transplanted when God so wills. Because as you and I know, Christians, believers, are not here to stay. We are waiting to be transplanted into the garden of heaven, where their fruit will never wither and their leaf will never fade. We will be the perfect picture of health with life everlasting. Ooh, I can't wait. Some days I'm like, Lord, I need a new body. Lord, I need new feet. I need new knees. I need a new kidney. I just need new stuff. One day that will come to pass for each and every one of us. One day he's going to move the diabetes. One day he's going to move all the other things that happen as a result of sin in creation. One day God is going to wipe every tear. One day God is going to remove temptation. One day he is going to do it all as he promised to do. So what does it mean then to prosper? It really means to grow deeper in Christ. It means we know that he is our rock. We know it means to know that he is our anchor, and that our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. It means that our life is full of the Holy Spirit, and full of healthy foliage and fruit in spite of the war Satan wages against us. It means we are prepared to see his face one day, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the tears, in spite of the heartaches of this world. And God promises that while we are here to take care of us always. So my question to you today is, are you prospering? Are you prospering? Are we prospering the way the psalmist meant for us to understand what it means to prosper? Amen. That is our sermon lesson for today. God bless you, and thank you for being here. Thank you for hearing it. And it is my prayer that as you leave today, that you will take a different meaning of what it means to prosper. What it means to prosper. We'll continue with verses 5 and 6 next week. We'll continue with verses 5 and 6 next week. And so I have a song for us today, and it's called He's My Rock. The song is by Bree Babineau, and it's a really beautiful song because it just proclaims that he is our rock.